AM 1490 and FM 100.3. People Radio, KXRA, Alexandria.
Good morning and welcome to Open Line.
KXRA 1490 AM Radio in Alexandria presents Open Line with your hosts Dennis Anholt and Patty Wicken. Open Line is designed to be a service to the area, providing dialogue with public officials and dignitaries and other community leaders about current events and issues that affect our lives. Open Line provides you with the opportunity to call our live on-air studio line with any questions you might have about the subject being discussed. The views and opinions offered by the hosts, studio guests, and telephone callers do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of KXRA Radio. And now, Open Line.
I'm going to have you move over one chair, Spencer, because I want to be able to eyeball Tom. He's going to play a part in your analysis today.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
We have a celebrity with us today. We have Spencer Kaufman, who is the son. I babysat Spence.
The first time. Yeah. First one to babysit me.
Oh, yes. My word.
I was his babysitter. Wow. He turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at me now.
And he is the son of John and Marie Kaufman. And, in fact, Tommy bought my dad's lawnmower.
Okay.
He lowballed him, and dad sold it. No. He bought dad's lawnmower, and he bought, I believe, the folks' pontoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think he lowballed him there, too.
Probably.
But anyway, Spence, since I've seen you last, give us a little background on your education.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to college here at Alexandria Technical College from 2008 to 2010, a degree in, it's called Individualized Professional Studies, but it's basically a business and marketing degree type transfer curriculum, and then also a diploma in concrete masonry. After that, I went to Minnesota State University in Moorhead, where I majored in psychology and philosophy. So while there, I did a study on whether or not people can detect a real versus a fake smile. So whether it's genuine or not, And that was just super interesting to me. And after that, I started going on whether or not people can decipher between truth and false.
Body language?
Right. Body language, deception. You name it.
You scared the heck out of me.
Can I? Yeah, we've got. He's eyeballing you and me. Can this transfer into winning more poker hands?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, you bet.
We've got everybody's attention right now.
They're all listening.
Now, Spencer has written the book, A Guide to Deception, has been studying emotions, facial expressions, body language for over 5 years. And you're an expert in both the micro expression training tool and subtle expression training tool. And this book, Guide to Deception, how did it come about?
Well, it started out as it was kind of my senior thesis project after the smile study. So then I did that in, it was called our senior seminar class. Basically, we had to choose a topic.
Mm-hmm.
I chose deception. And it started out as a paper. And I submitted that thing to countless journal articles, even had potential, not really a contract, but agreements with the FBI Law Enforcement Bulletin and Reader's Digest. Hmm. We were going to do it. Started out as one article. Then they said, well, it was too long because it was 12 pages for a college paper. Hmm. So I said, okay, no problem. So we switched it down, and I made it into 6 separate articles, all 2 pages each, so that it could be published in 6 segments of either the Reader's Digest or the Law Enforcement Bulletin.
It's an easy read.
Oh yeah, it's less than 100 pages, very reader friendly, all ages. If you can understand it. So as long as you can read, you can understand.
Let's go over the 6 parts.
Yeah.
The book is made up.
So the 6 parts. That's now the 6 chapters in the book, because after struggling with finding a journal to publish it, I decided, well, might as well make it a book, and I lengthened it out, and 6 months later, there it is. So the first part is basically kind of an introduction of why does the truth hurt? What's that effect on us? Why does it take such an emotional toll when the truth is revealed? You know the feeling. You can't describe it.
Give us an example.
Okay, so this is probably the biggest example here. So a cheating spouse.
Yeah.
You know, a wife or a husband could suspect for years and not say anything. And they could know and go along and everything is still fine.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they have the suspicion, they're fine. Once that's confirmed, once they find out, either you're confessed or they catch them or hire mm-hmm. somebody, whatever the case, all of a sudden they're crushed. They don't know why, because they knew.
Mm.
But yet...
They were in denial.
Right, they were in denial. Mm. Yeah, and in the book I go into a section that says, the reason it hurts is it's biologically based. You know, visual information and auditory information is processed at different rates based on the speed of light and sound.
If a person's truthful all the time, you'd have no friends. You wouldn't be married very long. You just can't.
It's true.
The time you, what do they call it, a white lie?
Yeah.
Fudging the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, lies are everywhere. Different estimates say people tell, you know, 2 to 3 lies in 10 minutes of conversation. Some say a couple hundred lies a day. Basically, if you're not lying, you're not social.
And there's bad lies, good lies?
Bad lies and good lies, yep, also known as high stake and low stake.
Okay.
So, like, low stake lies would say something like, oh, I love the tie you're wearing, or your haircut looks nice, when really...
Or, honey, this hot dish tastes great.
Right, or does this make me look fat?
Yeah.
You know? And you say, oh, no, don't worry.
Your hair looks nice.
And these, these are more hurtful.
Yes.
Actually.
And they are, if they're found out. And sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. And that's, you know, just a low-stake lie. Does it really matter? Yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
The high-stake lies are like, you know, national government, security, spies, that kind of thing.
Second segment.
So then after that, it goes into different spots on, like, body language. So you have different signs of deception. Also, there are, like, whether or not people can detect deception.
Body language.
Let's
run these down now. What is Tom communicating to you now when he's not making eye contact and reading your book?
He's interested in the book.
I have heard that if you're like this and the preacher's preaching, you cross your arms. You're shutting him out.
You know, that's a very popular myth. It's both. It's a myth and it's truth. So,
and again, I'm not just
Anthony went from chime
in. He opened right up
to folding his hands like he's going into prayer.
And sometimes, aren't you just cold? You know, you might be cool in the office. Yeah.
Explain that.
So that's one of the bigger sections on body language in the book, because everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes, you're cold. Other times, you could be shutting them out. But the main thing to look for is something called clusters of behavior or patterns. If someone crosses their arms, maybe they're cold. But if they cross their arms, they kind of lean back, they slouch down and curl up, you know they're shutting you out. It's multiple patterns. You know, the leaning back, they're getting away from you.
Yeah.
The crouching down, they're kind of huddling up, hiding. But if they cross their arms and lean in, maybe they're interested.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends. It's all patterns of behavior.
Some of it can be very innocent as far as it goes. So, but like you said, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a pattern.
Well, let's say Tom and I just went like this with our chin. What are we sending the signals? Is that
If you put your hand up there on your chin, a lot of times, it goes back to. It's kind of Darwinian with people. You know, they always had beards.
Yes.
Way back.
Yeah.
You know, whichever reason. And you'd stroke your beard in like contemplative thought.
That's
a very philosophical pose.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's why, like, when you have those the headshots of all the philosophers, they're always going like that. Or,
right.
That's why my picture out there is like that.
Yes.
Yes. Deep thought.
He's the only one, the deep thoughter.
Contemplating.
He's contemplating something.
I know they always talk, too, about that when you're in a job interview, sometimes if you mimic the interviewer, if they're crossing their legs, you cross yours, if they've got their hand or maybe their elbow on the desk, you kind of are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Then you're in tune, you're locked, and sometimes the interviewer will think of you as kind of simpatico with them. Do you see any connection with that?
Yes. The more mimicking that goes on, I think the better that subconsciously the two people think they relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, if you go to a bar or whatever and you...
Trying to pick up a good-looking girl?
Whichever you want to do.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to take some notes here.
Take some notes.
Dennis.
Well, see, but then that could also play against you, because if you're a guy and you're trying to go get a girl and you start acting like a girl...
No, mm-hmm. You don't want that.
Okay, yeah, that could be bad. You know,
has this
get the wrong idea around here.
Right.
Have you tried this up in the bars in Fargo-Moorhead? Did it work for you?
No, I haven't tried it.
Yeah, no, of course not.
I get banned from all those.
I went to school at Minnesota State University, Moorhead, too, so okay. I'm a dragon, too.
Great.
Well, we're trying to get through the body language here, because we got a full half hour.
Oh, yeah, we got it. Go.
But what are some of the positive body language signs when you meet somebody that they want to continue the conversation?
Okay, so basically if their eye contact is big, but here's another kind of strange thing. Eye contact is huge because that's what society says is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the body language comes from the body. Obviously, if you take a look at, like, percentage-wise, your eyes are pretty small. You have a lot of other body parts that can make micro-expressions or different gestures.
But a man doesn't want to stare at other body parts.
Right. That's why they say to look at the eyes.
Look at the eye. And this is, I found this to be true. And it works with Patty and me. If I'm not making eye contact with her when she's telling me something,
mm-hmm.
and I look the other way, they yep, think you're not listening.
Right.
But men are driving down the road,
and
they think you're ignoring them if you're not making
eye contact. Yeah. Well, it's also the same, you know, a lot of women, they turn around, they're doing something in the cupboard or washing dishes, you're talking to them face to face, all of a sudden they turn around, start washing dishes, and they're talking to the sink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they wonder why you can't hear them.
Yeah.
A good actor, difference between a new actor,
mm-hmm.
is that they focus on the person's eyes. If you see an actor with their eyes shifting back and forth, they're not making contact.
I mean,
with the camera...
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Well, it's a tough thing. I mean, when they're looking at a camera, you know, going from looking at a camera to looking at a person, if you're used to looking at people all the time, those new actors, they're looking around the stage at the other people, you know, not the camera.
Yeah.
And that's another significant part in body language.
We're talking with author Spencer Kaufman, author of A Guide to Deception. We'll come back and talk about his book. We'll also tell about where you can get the book when we return.
And you're listening to 1490 AM and 100.3 FM, People Radio, KXRA, Alexandria, 9:35. Let's take a look at our Weather Eye forecast.
This is Weather Eye. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki with your Alexandria Lakes area forecast. A few spotty showers possible late today, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, high in the low 40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy early, gradually becoming mostly clear, a low near 30. Saturday, sunshine, a high around 44. And Saturday night, mostly clear, low near 33. Sunday sunshine, a high around 55, and Monday sunny, high near 55. For KXRA, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Thanks, Jennifer. At 9:36, we're at 37 at our studio and at the airport, but it feels like 29 degrees west wind right now at 13, sending that wind chill value down into the 20s. Do bundle up. Humidity, 82%. Our dew point right now at 32. Pressure is on the rise at 29.97 inches. Sunrise this morning, 7:09, setting now just past 5 o'clock at 5:01. Day's getting shorter. We're losing 2 minutes, 43 seconds of daylight today. That's a look at your weather with Weather Eye right here from People Radio, KXRA. Now back to Dennis and Tom and more Open Line.
And we're back, and we're talking with author Spencer Kaufman, who has written the book A Guide to Deception. And one or two more body language things that may help people read other people.
You just want a general?
Yeah.
Okay, so, for instance, the first thing, if you're kind of talking with somebody and they're looking all over the place, looking around the room, looking everywhere, mm-hmm. we kind of touched on this, but... they're still interested. A lot of people can't focus on one train of thought for more than 5-10 seconds. Next time you're listening to a seminar or at a conference, put a sticky note down there and just mark a little line on there every time you think about something other than that seminar. It happens all the time.
That's why in television, about 10 seconds on one thing, and then they switch.
They switch.
They keep going.
Well, think of this. When you watch a football game, what's most interesting? People love commercials.
Yeah.
You know, they're short ads. They keep your attention.
Yeah.
We're still kids.
Yeah. And that's become shorter over the over the years.
Yeah.
You know, that's mm-hmm. The politicians pick up on that, how long their sound bites
right.
need to be.
Yeah. Well, everything is subconscious. Another thing with the mirroring behaviors. So if you want to know if somebody is honest, let's say a job interview. If you test this out, if you're the interviewer,
mm-hmm.
you know, do some stuff, touch your face, pretend there's something in your eye, maybe fix your hair, move your mm-hmm. tie around. If the person you're interviewing starts doing the same stuff, touching their face, maybe not the exact same thing, like mm-hmm. the same eye or whatever, but they start mirroring those gestures, they're normal. If somebody doesn't mirror facial expressions, it's suggestive that they are not quite sociopathic, but maybe not on the same emotional level as quote-unquote normal people.
This interview is done, and you leave.
Yeah, it's done.
Sorry, I don't think you're going to work out.
This book is not just for the aspiring entrepreneurs or young people. It's for senior citizens, everything.
Everybody.
Cut to the chase. How do you know a salesman is blowing smoke or if he's telling you the truth? And how to get the best deal on a sale, buying a car, home, appliance, or whatever.
Basically, you got to work them over. You know,
okay, how do you work them over?
If you want to, let's say you're buying a car.
Okay.
The first thing you want to do, it's a series of steps, and the reason nobody gets a good deal or very few people get a good deal is because they don't want to put the effort in.
Mm-hmm.
Same with getting a job. So if you're buying a car, okay, you go to the lot. First thing you do before you even go in, you got to look around. Okay, maybe you want a blue car. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a blue car on the lot. I don't want a blue car anymore. You got to find a color that's not on the lot. Then you go in, you tell the salesman. All those car salesmen out there are going to be real upset. You say, hey, I want a pink car.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have a pink car, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll settle for a blue one for a discount.
Oh, okay. There you work that.
You got to work that in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to tell, are there any tell signs that the salesman is really giving you a good deal?
If the salesman is speaking a lot with their hands, with real emotion, mm-hmm. stepping forward on one foot, leaning forward, really driving in, you can tell they're passionate about the sale. If they're just trying to get a quick sale, like they bring up the price, they say it's a good car for you, on and on and on, maybe you want to ask some more questions.
Okay.
Another thing to note is, like, let's say you're in the finalization process. You're kind of sitting at the desk, or you're in a big business meeting negotiating some contract. If somebody starts and they cross their legs, the figure four position,
mm-hmm.
that's a typical sign that they're ready to go. The deal is ready to be made.
Okay.
You've got them on.
A lot of salespeople talk to themselves past the closing. There's
yes,
tell signs.
Yes, they
these
do.
These people are ready to buy.
Yes,
and
they
say,
right?
Oh, I've got this another bale of hay I want to dump on you. Good morning.
Yeah, this is just a fascinating author. I'm almost sure I'm going to get his book.
Oh, good.
And I mean, this is some dialectics and all that. I like, 'cause I think of Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse Now. You know, dialectics. But anyway, the mimicry thing really caught my attention
mm-hmm.
because see, people say that I make a really good first impression with people.
Okay.
And yet, most of my life, I mean, I've studied this stuff too. And I've intentionally not mimicked people. Like, I used to mimic people because, you know, it came natural to me because I'm usually listening really intently. I got an inquisitive mind. And I at some point, maybe 10 years ago or so, I decided that I would intentionally not mimic people. When people do it to me when I'm talking, I find it irritating. So I'd like to hear if there's maybe another side to that, and I'll just listen off the air.
Sure.
Okay, Spencer?
Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, so the big thing here is he said he's intentionally not mimicking people. The question is, were you mimicking before? Were you doing every single thing they did? If yes, that can be annoying. Then, you know, the person who you're talking to is like, what the heck's the matter with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do any that could also be a little strange as well. You know, if you just stand there with your hands in your pockets for the full 20 minutes, you're talking to somebody, it might be a little odd as well. But if you are mimicking some, you know, that's kind of what we say is then you're the quote-unquote normal.
This is a natural reaction.
Right, it is. It's a natural reaction.
Whatever, it feels natural.
Humans, we want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. I mean, that's the bottom line. And because of that, whatever anybody does, we're always going to be doing something similar. Maybe not exactly the same, but for instance, right now, we're all sitting here. Mm-hmm. We've got either our arms crossed or our hands folded. We're all leaning forward.
As soon as I brought my hands together, his eyes went right down in the hands. So.
Yeah. But you notice that next time you're with a few people, try leaning back in your chair. And
they'll lean back in their chair.
They will. Yeah, they will. It'll happen.
Well, and then you both fall asleep, and there goes the whole thing.
You're in sales, if you're living and can read, you should get this book.
You should get this book. Yeah.
This will help you maybe with parents and their children.
With anything. There's a part in there. Scott Stumpf, he wrote the foreword. He's a teacher at Alexandria Technical College in the law enforcement. He wrote in part of his foreword, he said, "And trust me, if you have kids, you're definitely being lied to." You know, he's got kids, and I suppose every kid, you know, they're going to lie to their parents at some point in time, so you're going to need to know. Now, should you always call people out on a lie? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on what the lie is. Does it really matter? Are you in front of other people? Do you want to, you know, look like you're always confronting people in front of everybody else?
Well, the reason, as a kid, we denied it right off the bat, is that then that forces the parent to prove it. Maybe they don't have proof. Now, if you do tell a lie, how do you come across to your parent that so they can't read you that you're lying?
Well, study this book, learn the behaviors, and don't do them.
That's exactly right. But everyone should. It's a quick read, and it will help really build stronger relationships.
Yes, it will. It's something that's great. You can read the book and put the knowledge that's in the book in your mind and study it. You know, I recommend reading the book once all the way through, just like a quick pass, and then after that, go through and read it again with a highlighter and pens and write in it. Make it yours. You know, if you see something that jumps out at you, like the previous caller, you're really fascinated with mimicking. Maybe the mimicking little paragraph in there, you start highlighting that. Study that area. Some people, you know, they really want to know, well, when your eyes go up or when you look down, what is that about? You know, so in the book, when you see that, okay, look at that. Study that section. And then once you get through that book again, highlighting it all, keep it. And periodically refer back to it.
So it becomes more and more part of you.
Right. Yep.
I like the front cover, the picture. Here's a guy. He's got his hand up, his right hand up, and he's obviously trying to tell the truth here with a flag in front, with his hand, the other hand behind his back, with the fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, baby.
Where can they get your book?
Okay, so the book is available online, aguidetodeception.com, or if you can't remember the title, spencerkaufman.com. That'll take you there. You can buy it online. It'll be shipped to you for free. Otherwise, Cherry Street Books on Broadway will also have the book. We'll probably be doing a book signing there sometime in the next couple of months, maybe January or December.
What has happened with your life since you've developed these skills? One of the biggest things.
Basically, when you first start learning these skills, so 5 years ago, after the smiles, I kind of got into the deception. You kind of begin to notice like every little thing, you know. So you see, like, okay, that guy's smiling. Well, he doesn't really mean it, you know. And it's not so much with the people you're talking to, because when you're talking to somebody, you're focused on a conversation, so you're not really reading them as much as everybody thinks you are if you're a so-called expert. So they always say, you know, I better watch out what I'm doing. That's really not true, because you have to really focus on it. But I notice it in other people all the time. So, like, you walk down the street or at the mall, you see two people talking together, and you can just see it, you know, like, okay, that guy and that girl, well, they're not interested in each other. Or you see this, and you can tell, oh man, those two people are having a great time, or like this, you know, that you see it a lot of times, like at like when you go to Menards and they have the washer and dryers, and you got the couple in there picking out the thing, and the guy is just like pacing around,
hanging along.
The wife has no clue that the guy does not want to be there.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, I'm walking by and I'm like, boy, that poor guy.
So it's a distraction, but something you have to learn to live with.
Yes, you learn to develop it. And I touch on that in the end of the book, something like, hey, be careful, because, you know, now that you know all this, it's potentially mind-blowing.
A lot of people communicate now, not eyeball to eyeball, not voice to voice, but through texting.
Texting, yes.
So there's where deception is really, it can really go alive on the internet and everything like this.
It's a lot easier to lie in words than it is to speak it to someone's face.
Sure.
You know, you can easily type, well, I mean, look at now, most people prefer to text and to email rather than a phone call. You can hardly get somebody on the phone anymore.
Yeah.
It's easier to type it out, send it, and not have to deal with the reaction. Some things to watch out for, I guess, in texting, and this is a whole other area, is just the words, word choice. If you get a text, and now this is difficult because a lot of times kids will do, like, you know, abbreviations and such, so they don't really talk like that. But if you're in a formal, like, let's say, business emails or business texting, they should be using real words and sentences. So watch the sentence structure. If it's something that is odd, and by odd I mean speak it back to yourself, say it out loud, and if that doesn't sound like a normal sentence structure, there might be something fishy. Clarify. Ask again. If they say the same words in a different way, then okay, maybe it's a little true, but if they kind of mix it up, then that's a red flag.
Well, that's a matter of accountability for the individual who's doing the texting.
Right.
We'll be back after this. Our guest today is author Spencer Kaufman, who has written the book, The Guide to Deception. Phone lines are open, 762-8167. You mentioned, Spencer, that you have a book signing coming up at some later date.
Some point in
Cherry
time.
Cherry Street Books.
Yep.
Do you have a sequel to this coming out or other books?
No plans yet with the sequel. As I said, this one was recently published last month. So, I mean, in the future, I would like to write some more, probably on body language, different signs. Well, see, this is mainly on deception. There are an infinite number of possibilities. You could go into some on anything.
Are the people who would hire you to check out their companies, their people?
You know, probably. There was a popular TV show a couple years ago called Lie to Me on Fox, and that focused on a guy who he had his own firm that people hired, and he went in and said, hey, is this guy lying or not? And they would, with their team, they'd analyze all the body language and say, okay, he's telling the truth, he's lying, and then that would be whatever high-profile case they were working on. This stuff is out there. It's tough to get into if far as applying the job.
Well, you wouldn't be in the room because you'd have to observe.
You'd have to observe
how the interview was going.
Is there a certification that you have to pass and everything to be qualified?
There was, on the back, there's a subtle expression training tool and micro expression training tool. That's through Dr. Paul Ekman. He's the guy that basically started the whole body language and micro expression studies and kind of brought it full scale. Obviously, it was studied before him, but he made it big.
Could you do a book on pets? And you could even be specific on cats or dogs, you know, because they send off body language, don't they?
Yeah, that was actually that was Darwin. He started that. He was the first to notice that, hey, animals and plants even engage in deception and micro expressions, because, you know, you can look at a dog and based on their eyes or, or their smile, they're happy or sad.
Yeah.
And then that was just transferred to people. And then the argument was made that this is universal. It happens everywhere. It's not something that you can say, oh, well, because we live in America or in Minnesota, it's only applicable here with our culture, unique culture, body language. No, this happens everywhere.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. Any human being is going to exhibit the exact same signs in this book.
And their pet, and a pet in China, and a dog in China.
And a dog in China will be the same as a dog here in Alexandria.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, these signs written in this book are for humans, so you wouldn't want to apply them to pets. You might be able to.
But cats are
purring. Cats purring. Does it always mean they're happy?
I think so.
Yeah.
And when they hiss, you know, stay away.
That's their
space. Angry.
So,
look out.
Have you got any reaction to your book since you released it?
Not too much.
Okay.
You know, just the general people that say, hey, this looks like a great book, or I'm excited to read this book on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/A Guide to Deception, Google Plus as well, some comments on there. That's basically the only reactions we've had.
So would you recommend taking this, if you're going to meet somebody new, take this book to the bar and then ask them a question and then...
And then peer through the book like you're going to Mexico and with a little pocket dictionary.
Hold on a second. Follow up with a follow question or if they make a move or a subtle itch.
Okay, wait a minute. Don't move. Let me look that up.
Yeah. And when you look up, they're gone.
And the cops are there.
Other chapters we haven't mentioned, or we touched on?
There are a couple. There's a chapter explaining like the different types of lies, which kind of went over high stake and low stake, but it also explains all of the reasoning behind it all, whether you should call people out on liars. Other section that is like the definition of deception basically explains from kind of beginning to now different definitions of deception, what was currently acceptable.
Why do people want to embellish? Maybe what they're saying, the basic essence is truth. Mm-hmm. For example, that Taco Bell ad on the gold-plated
PlayStation. Yes.
Where the girl asked the guy where he got it, and he went into a James Bond type of deal when another guy says, no, you just go register at
register
Taco Bell.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Because, so there are a couple things. So first of all, what was that guy trying to do?
Impress the girl.
Impress the girl. Okay. Would it hold up? How soon would that girl find out? I mean, if she's involved at all in the real world and not living under a rock, she's going to see a Taco Bell somewhere and say, oh, look, there's that PlayStation. Obviously, that guy was lying.
It depends on how dismissive she is of what he
or
said.
Or how madly in love she would be with the guy to be blinded by that emotion. Then the other thing is, the guy that pointed out that it was a lie, what's the opinion of him now? If he just shattered this guy's lie, maybe
well, that guy would like to take him out back in the back alley.
Exactly. Yeah. So I put that in the book, too. You know, does it really matter?
Then you would see what kind of expression there would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Spence, for putting us under the microscope.
Yeah.
We'll never scratch our chin same again.
No.
Thanks so much. Keep us posted.
Yeah. Will do.
Thanks, Spence.
The book is A Guide to Deception, and the website, if they can order it?
SpencerKaufman.com or AGuideToDeception.com.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Open Line is heard each Monday through Friday morning at 9:05 a.m. and designed to be a service to the area. The views and opinions offered by the hosts, studio guests, and telephone callers do not necessarily reflect those of the management and ownership of KXRA Radio. Thanks for listening to KXRA's Open Line.